Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is Saturday morning. It is that time of year. It is that time of day. It is that time of week. Ladies and gentlemen, it is October. And today, we are the 99%. We are the 47%. Heck, we are the ones that care. That's why we're up. Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of NDB Media's Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's early Saturday morning, and yes, I have awakened you from your stupor, but I steal not from your lack thereof because I don't care to do so. I am the scorekeeper, and joining me from the far eastern side of California, so says Kim Wilde in Kids in America, the big dog is right here. I'm sorry, the robo dog, the Borg dog. How you doing, big dog?
Good. How's it going, everyone? Scorekeeper,
how are you
doing?
Big dog? That's the most important thing. How's the robo dog?
Robo dog's doing okay. Unfortunately, had another episode that I did last week, so that wasn't too good. But we're dealing with it, and we're moving on.
I'm just curious, big dog, this episode, was it a rerun?
Unfortunately, yes, it was. It was the same problem, so, yeah.
Oh, so the authors of your program are getting a little lame, huh?
Yeah, whoever got those little voodoo dolls and quit poking it, damn it.
It seems like it is, ladies and gentlemen, of course. I do want to thank Harold Faltermeyer and Steve Stevens for the opening theme for Top Gun. Because we are the Top Guns on Saturday morning. We form the first half of the four-hour block of sports here on Saturday morning. Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks, is the lead-in for the Couch Potato Sports Show. I know he'll be joining us shortly. Big Dog, how you doing? Are you at your studio right now?
Yes, I'm in the studio. I have two announcements, if you'll allow me.
Well, is she awake yet?
Well, that's part of the reason why, but unfortunately, she's not here. Most of the family has left me. They are in Arizona attending a wedding party or wedding shower, something to do with the wedding today. So they all left except for Janelle, but I just want to take this moment to, there is something special, anybody who has kids, there is something special about your firstborn and the fact that I'm a father and my firstborn is a daughter is even more special. There's just that little bond that a daughter has with her dad, and the daughter will always be daddy's little girl, no matter how old she is. Well, my firstborn daughter is 23 years old today, and I just want to wish Kathy a very, very happy birthday. I love you so much. So is Roger. Roger was one of the first people to ever hold you. I'll never forget the look on his face. It was classic, but, it was a funny moment, but it was special because Roger was one of the first people to ever hold you when you were so, so small. And I just want to say, you know, Dad loves you and want to wish you the very best and happy birthday.
Wow, so you're a lucky guy. No doubt about it, big dog. The women are gone and you've got a run of the studio.
Yeah, for once.
I got to tell you, it is great. And first of all, I owe some apologies, but I'm going to start it off right now by blowing some love because I can. Here's the first one. He was a little unhappy because of what I did on Wednesday night. And I apologize, Timmy. You are our man. But hey, it is what it is.
What?
Here's your 24 seconds. What? Big dog?
I don't remember what you did. I was there.
I didn't notify him.
Oh, that you had a show. Oh.
Yeah, I was out of line, dude. I was out of line.
Well, see, that was a Canadian-American paradox there. So, you know, you weren't completely at fault.
Wow. For someone being so far away, you certainly do know your place. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is. Good morning, Timmy. Oh, yes, it's Tim. It's Tim this morning. Oh, yes, he always rides in to save the day. Yes, he's coming in from the great white north, ladies and gentlemen. He has an attitude. Horse does as well. And so does that wife. We get it. He knows it. Big Dog knows it. We're happy he's here. What's up, Tim? Sorry, Big Dog. I know the coordination would have been like 2 seconds off, so I couldn't do that.
Yeah, I know. That's cool. Good morning,
and
Tim.
Speaking of the hardest working man in sports, he is here this morning. And, oh my goodness, we have a pleasant surprise this morning.
Yes,
man,
we do.
I've got to do this one for her. I haven't done this one ever. So this is it. She is here this early in the morning. Wow. It's Andrea. No Adam Dunn jokes here, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, because the Nationals are in the playoffs. Oh, yes, Andrea, Sox fan, is in the house. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that know and don't know, this woman has been predicting the rise of the Washington Nationals for a while. Lenny Melnick doesn't have to tell us because we've heard it and we know it, and it's been absolutely awesome. I think her day is coming because the Nationals are going to be in the playoffs and they're going to be tough to beat. Sans, of course, the great white hope. But far be it for me to actually slam them. Big Dog, Andrea's in the house, as is Almighty Sports Show. What the hell's going on? The couch potato's here. Oh, my God, I've got one for the couch potato. Where the hell is he? This is intro galore city, man. Hold on, here we go. Sorry, Big Dog, got to get through this. Oh, come on, stupid iTunes. Come on. Story of my life.
Come on, iTunes, it's the studio. Quit doing that.
His name is Couch. Potatoes in the house this morning. Oh, yeah, he is the hardest working man in sports. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, unfortunately, I may have given the couch potato a little bit more love than I care to. But, hey, it is what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a great day. It's actually been a great week of sports. I think the only low light is that the NHL has canceled the first few weeks of the season. Right, Big Dog? Because there's no deal so far.
Yes, they have. They canceled the first 2 weeks of the season. The season would have opened up, I believe it was October 15th, October 11th, somewhere in there, which would have been sometime next week. There have been no negotiations, been very little even talk, and now the first 2 weeks are gone. Of course, they canceled all of preseason. The first 2 weeks are gone. It's kind of like the lockout with the NBA. They're saying if something is done quick enough, they may be able to get those 2 weeks' worth of games back, to push the season back by 2 weeks. But with them not even talking, with them not even coming to the table to agree that they can even talk about coming back to the table, it doesn't look good.
Yeah, you know, it does not look good at all. But I will give it to NHL, to NHL management, Big Dog, because they cannot pull an NFL with the replacement refs. If you think about it, there will be no situation like this. So as you were talking, I was saying to myself, hey, we need an NHL moment. I'm like, well, wait a minute, they're not even playing. So I got to give it to management. Those rat bastards, they certainly have it right. But ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, switching gears very quickly. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Yes, we are right in the middle of Major League Baseball playoffs. And if you missed it, you missed it. Wow. It is something. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you baseball fans out there. And yes, Andrea, you should still give it a shot. LetMeHearYou.com is the next best thing to yogurt. Let me tell you. It goes down smooth, and it tastes delicious, and it gives you the illusion of losing weight, too. Ladies and gentlemen, LetMeHearYou.com is a lot of fun.
What are you talking about?
LetMeHearYou.com.
That could be conscrewed a few different ways.
Conscrewed?
You know,
I'm sorry, you said conscrewed. Is that like a multiple event?
It depends on the person.
Fair enough. Big dog.
Because the swallowing is going down smooth. I don't know. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I'm talking about yogurtandletmehearya.com. I've called several games over there. It's actually quite therapeutic. A lot of fun. You guys should do it, man. I'm hoping the NHL starts sometime soon because I would love to screw up an NHL call.
Well, you know, I was talking with Coffee on Monday.
God, having a conversation with Coffee?
Well, you know, he is a diehard hockey fan. And I was telling him, unfortunately, for NHL and for the players and the owners, they are the number four of four major league teams, major league franchises, sports in America. And they don't have the luxury of baseball, basketball, or of course, football to lose games. Hockey already did this once, what was it, 8 years ago, and they lost a ton of fans that they can't afford to lose anyways. Because, as I said, they're number four of four. So for them to start canceling the game, this can cost them a lot of fans and a lot of people. Actually, these guys can turn around and not actually go to the games. They will be affected. It's not like in baseball and football that you're saying, I'm not going to go to the game, but, you know, Joe Schmo is going to come in and take your spot, your seat, because, you know, everybody loves football, everybody loves baseball. That's not the case with hockey. There's a lot of people that are casual fans that aren't the diehards, and you don't get sellouts in every single game in every single city. So this can hurt them immensely in the pocketbook, and it will affect the players because they're not going to have the fans there cheering them on, and it's going to be harder for them to get major money contracts in the future.
Yeah, I know, Big Dog. I really wonder, I mean, I was thinking when you were telling me all this, which to believe, you telling the story or the fact that you had a coherent story with Coffee?
Only because it was about hockey. That was the only reason why.
I can't wait for Tim or for Dan to show up so I can play My Prerogative. My favorite song. And look, I like the Bobby Brown version, but I haven't found it yet. But My Prerogative is the song that I play for Coffee. He thought it was a Britney Spears song. I'm like, no. My Prerogative by Bobby Brown. I just think it's appropriate for Mr. Coffee. Do you, Big Dog? I mean, Robo Dog or Borg Dog or whatever the hell dog you are. You're like a dog pound, dude.
In fact, Coffee,
you know, those dogs that are hidden over
now.
In the back corner, that's you.
Coffee's in the house.
Oh, shit. Really? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, talk hockey and Coffee shows up.
Wow. Indeed it does. And ladies and gentlemen, we may even have a little bit of NASCAR news in a little bit. Unbelievably. Dude, just press one. You know, yeah, screw it. I'm bringing him in. If he doesn't want to answer, then so be it. He hasn't been on for, what the hell? Big Dog, what's today? Are we on a holiday weekend or something?
It's because it's my daughter Kathy's birthday.
It is your
here.
Daughter's birthday. Are you going to sing her happy birthday?
No, but I do have one more announcement, if I may.
Oh, geez, we're only 14 minutes in. No problem, Big Dog.
Well, with everybody here, maybe they'll stay on for this one. My one daughter that is here, Janelle, is the reason why she did not go with everybody else is because she's doing a lot better. Thank you for asking. She has a cheerleading competition tryout, workout, whatever it is, today. And unfortunately for me, I have four cheerleaders here that spent the night, so I had four 17-year-old girls here giggling away all night long.
Yeah, you had four hotties over. Oh, my God.
But one condition that I was able to
did
get...
Did you notice the Big Dog just, dare I say, blew over that one? But anyway, go ahead.
I got them to agree to this since I'm driving them to their competition. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to go away for about maybe 5 minutes while we get in the car, get going. And then I'm gonna broadcast from the car, and I got them to agree to give us a cheer. So they will be doing a cheer for us on the air live. You can use that for your anniversary show next year. You can write down the time and date. And that should be probably about between 7:40 to 7:50 our time.
Big Dog, I don't know what you did because I couldn't pay four hotties to say hi to me, damn it. Wow, you are the man.
Because I'm driving, that's why. That's how that goes.
Yeah, well, it's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Almighty Sports Show, Andreas Sox fan, Coffee 77, the hardest working man in sports, Laker fan, and Tim McLeod are in the house. And then, of course, from the high Pacific Northwest, somewhere when it grains, everything turns green, even the rusted out cars. I found it out when I traveled to Portland in 2010. He is here. He is now. He is the missing part of Sports Talk with the Guys. Good morning, Solomon. How are you?
He loves doing that to you.
Solomon, you're still a bastard. You're live, dude. You know you're live. Okay, well, he really didn't press one. Solomon, please say hi. All right, he is listening in from somewhere in Oregon. Sorry. Solomon Walters is listening. Saul Walters is great. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've got some more news. Yes, it's Solomon. Yes, it is. All right, guys, we're going to go over some of the baseball stuff that happened yesterday. Unbelievably so. There were some incredible games, some incredible defensive plays as well. Oh,
and
my
course,
goodness.
And
this
a
is
major,
the first
major
time.
Controversy.
Yes. Well, let's get to it, ladies and gentlemen. The game with the least amount of controversy. Well, no, actually, there's going to be a lot of controversy on both of these games because of the one-game playoff. We're going to have to see what's going to happen last year, but kudos to the Texas Rangers, ladies and gentlemen, and indirectly to the couch potato. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, unbelievably so, the collapse. I'm not going to say an epic collapse because they're from Texas and they think everything is big anyway, but this was a collapse of collapses, ladies and gentlemen. This was akin to the one last year of the Atlanta Braves and the Boston Red Sox. This is one where the Texas Rangers were in a dogfight all year, but were in the catbird position. They were doing so well. They had their boy on the mound. They blew the lead, and finally they went into the game. And for five innings, it was a battle, ladies and gentlemen, until the sixth. And I saw that, and it was unbelievable when Baltimore took the lead and then eventually put it to the Texas Rangers, winning 5-1. Sanders over Darvish. Darvish's, and this is just for you, Tim, the magical season of Darvish is over, but I don't know where Baltimore on ESPN comes up with this tagline, and Baltimore's magical season continues. It's not magical. It's Baltimore. Come on. But kudos to Baltimore. When they had to, they played the better team and beat them. Doesn't matter if they were in a tailspin or not, Baltimore put it to the Rangers. Big dog, did you catch any of the game? I did. I was impressed.
That game, no, I did not because I was at my daughter's football game, which, of course, they lost again. But I did see it afterwards. And, Texas just had just continued their one-game playoff, you know, continued their epic fail this past few weeks. Yeah, exactly. the past few weeks, I mean, they were in the driver's seat all season long. Their first challenge, of course, was the Angels. And the Angels fell by the wayside, and all of a sudden, here come those, the Oakland A's, the people that the lowest salary of every, of the entire league. And out of nowhere, they started winning, and Texas couldn't hang on. And with three games left in the season, they were up by three, and they were up by two, and they lost all three games. And the A's won all their three and caused this playoff, and they just blew it again. Josh Hamilton did not come through and pretty much has not come through ever for his career. He is not the big-time hitter in crunch time. When you need the hit, he's not the guy to go to. He puts up epic numbers, but he is not the clutch hitter that you need in spots like this. And he was in those spots a couple of times in this game and did not come through.
Yeah, and Tim's, one of his first comments is, Darvish pitched well, not his fault, Rangers lost. I agree with that, Tim. I agree with that,
yes.
No doubt, and I appreciate the commentary by the big dog right now. It's done. It's over. We're getting a lot of talk about the Washington Nationals game that's coming up, but we'll get to that. Ladies and gentlemen, the other game with one of the, I guess, one of the biggest blown calls of all time was the game between the Cardinals and, who was that other team? Cardinals and, oh yeah, the Braves. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, wow. You know, Tim said, or someone said right now in the chat room, if that was in Minnesota, that would be considered a long fly out. And before I forget about it, Andrea said something again, and this is what I cringe about. Lately, when Andrea says something, she's been right on. And she said right now the Nationals will not get anywhere without Tim Strasburg. And I hate it when people make that type of exclamatory statement. Coming from her, I put a lot of weight behind it. But here's the thing. The series hasn't been played yet. I respect the opinion, and unfortunately I think she's right. But the series hasn't been played yet. That, you know, I mean, you never know. And besides, we can have a few blown umpire calls, right, Big Dog? We've seen that in the past.
Oh, yes, and Almighty Sports Show says it is good to see that the NFL replacement refs have found a job as NBL umpires.
Oh, here we go. Correction. Andy, I bow to you. I am so sorry. She was just screwing with coffee. That's a going all the way. All right. You see, I read the chat room, kids. Sorry, I was misled. Women, so evil. They mislead us men all the time. It's not fair, Big Dog.
That is very true. So, with the infield fly rule, do you believe that was an infield fly rule? I mean, Tim seemed to agree with the call. What was your opinion on that? Since you are the short
term? Agreed it was an infield fly rule?
Well, you agreed to the call. Wasn't the call that it was an infield fly rule? Wasn't that the
call? Yeah. Too bad, you know. I mean, it was almost on the warning track, dare I say.
That's what I thought, too. But Tim said
No. The rule, again, I'll give it to all the people that were watching the game. They pointed out the rule right away. And as long as the rules were followed all the way, dude, first of all, an infield fly rule is a judgment call. And usually it's made within 2 seconds of the ball being hit up. And as long as you make the call, you know what? Hey, it is what it is. Look, Big Dog, I told you at the time that, I mean, we were playing a baseball game, and Nacho Izaguirre, who's about my height, the ball came at his head, and the umpire called that a strike. And we're like, whoa, coach! Hey, that's where he's calling him. You know where the strike is. And sure enough, it was crazy. I mean, it was like swinging for a piñata, and the umpire was white. Go figure. Maybe he was being sensitive to all of us being Latinos. I don't know. But it was horrible. It is what it is. As long as the calls are consistent and the piñatas can be hit, dude, I'm good with it. I'm good with the call. I really am.
You're going to make a good politician because I asked you a question. You never even answered it. That's really good. Scorekeeper, ask your opinion if it was a infield fly rule or not. And you danced around it like a politician. You're going to make a great one.
Well, I have run for office, Big Dog, and the reality is, I'll tell you this, that the most important issue at hand here is whether we were using the bats to hit the piñata or not. It doesn't matter what effect it had on the rest of the game. We knew what was being called, and we just moved forward, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we do. Doesn't matter what we did in the last inning. It matters now, and we had to move forward. There you are, Big Dog. I didn't answer it again.
I know. I was about to say that.
Big Dog, you know what I've always told you. You only let them know what they want to know, not what they need to know. And I believe Saul, who's listening, is like, oh, shit, just had a flashback to high school. Yeah, Saul, some of those lines just never go away, buddy. They just never go away. They just get recycled with different names. And speaking of such, Big Dog, the Cardinals, I don't know, maybe it wasn't surprising, but these Cardinals are doing very well again. They're on their way. Yeah. This, you know, Pujols is gone, and they're back in the playoffs. Wow.
I got to tell you.
You know, you all have to give it to the defending champions. I mean, they always get the nod, even if they did lose their number one player, I guess he would be. But, you know, they did make it in. They squeaked in. You know, it took them almost all year to do it, but they were able to get in because of this new playoff format. And they beat the Braves, who had just, of course, as you said earlier, they had their meltdown last year and just missed it. And this year they got in, and the Cards, you know, took it to them. That infield fly rule call, whether it was right or wrong, I don't think would have made a difference. It was at a crucial time, but the Cardinals did win 6-3. Now, because of this, because of the call, you know, I'm not sure if what would have transpired. You know, of course, you would have coached it maybe differently, so on and so forth. But the Cards, you know, won. You got to give it to them for that. There was a protest. Major League Baseball denied the Braves' protest on the call. Did they have a basis? Could the call have been reversed? Let's put it this way. Scorekeeper, if the protest was honored, what would have happened? Would they have had to go back and play the game from that point on, or what would have happened?
That is correct, Big Dog. The protest. But here's another sidelight. I don't know if Major League Baseball even rules on the protest. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but I read something late last night or early this morning. Don't know. I was in a daze. You know, my wife does that to me from time to time, so I really wasn't paying attention to the news. Thank you, Mrs. Scorekeeper. Anyway, I was up early, Big Dog. Didn't you notice? They sent you a text message.
Mm-hmm.
Are you on your way over? See? I was awakened early. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Well, we're talking about a protest? Oh, yeah. If the protest would have been accepted, the game would have been restarted from that exact point. So when the ball is hit, that was called the infield fly rule, whatever the count was, they would start from that point and just complete the game. It is really unheard of. It has only happened twice in the history of baseball. And if I'm not mistaken, the last time this happened was on June 24th, 1983. So there you go.
All right.
That was the famous pine tar game. I'm sure someone's going to look at it and say, no, you idiot, it was June 23rd, but that's okay. The point is, it was on June 23rd. And a little bit of trivia, when the game was resumed, I believe because one of the players was later traded away or was unavailable, Ron Guidry, Louisiana Lightning, was in center field for the rest of the game. Kind of cool. What, Big Dog?
Oh, no, I'm looking at the chat room. I guess
they're lively this morning.
Well, Couch says he's online, but he's just listening. He says, "Adobe."
Oh, I guess he had
problems.
Warned me because of what I did with Saul. Look, Saul, Couch Potato's on now. I mean, two hicks for the price of one. Does life get better? Oh, come on, that was funny. No?
Well, Tim is agreeing with you, so I guess you know the apocalypse is happening again. Tim said Brett was the last appeal allowed, and he also said the one before that was a Pirates rainout, I think, he said.
Well done, Tim. Well done. Wow.
And I was correct. Yeah, Tim also agrees with me. He said the appeal was denied 5 minutes after the game was over.
Okay. Since my wife threw me in the stupor, once again, thanks, babe, I don't know. I guess I misread the report. I misremember, Big Dog. Just call me Roger the Rocket now. Oh, my God. Actually, there is a coworker that calls me, Roger Ramjet. And I'm like, who told you? That's neither here nor there. I'm a little full of myself this morning, aren't I?
Just because your eyes were on.
I'm sorry?
Because your eyes are brown.
Oh, that's good, Big Dog. I just feel good. I haven't felt this good in a long time. Anyway, life's good. The cup of Joe is not doing anything to me. I mean, I'm just drinking it for like candy right now. But, ladies and gentlemen, yes, thank you. I was looking for that because I was a bit confused. I misremembered from about 10 o'clock to about 5 this morning, so I do apologize. And I really thought that something... Oh, God, here we go. Valentine got screwed. Oh, my God. He needed to get screwed because he would have been doing a lot better with the Red Sox, pal. Valentine did not get screwed. Oh, Jesus. Mary and Joseph. Coffee! Oh, big dog, Valentine is gone. Thank God. A moron.
Yes. Mr. Valentine was fired, I believe it was Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever.
He was fired right after the season ended. It was either Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday. He was fired. I have it here. He was fired Thursday. He went 69-93 in his only year in Boston. And
he went 69?
Yes, 69-93 in the club.
Well, numbers aren't representative of everything, apparently.
The club's worst season in the last 50 years. So they had a lot of problems. They could not take his type of managerial skills, or lack thereof, the players anyways, and there was a lot of disruption in the clubhouse. Of course, when they knew they were out of the playoffs, they dumped salaries like crazy, and the Dodgers were more than willing to pick them up. They got Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, and Josh Beckett, which shed about $250 million worth of salary. So now it gives them a chance to possibly rebuild this summer. We'll see how they do. They've got to get a manager first, I think, first and foremost, but we'll see how that goes, and I guess we're going to have to go from there.
And for those of you that remember and don't remember, which more than likely you don't remember, ladies and gentlemen, the whole idea of that trade with Boston, I told you, it was going to come down to Adrian Gonzalez. Everything else is extra. It's going to be evaluated on Adrian Gonzalez. They brought a lot of money over, but these guys are going to be gone in a few years. Beckett, he's not going to be re-signed by the Dodgers because everyone's going to realize, well, I think the Dodgers have already realized who the cancer in Boston was. And now he's with the Dodgers. He's the one that led the rebellion against the prior manager. And, you know, just call him Coffee and Beer Beckett. I mean, Chicken and Beer Beckett. That's what it is. That's the only thing he wants to do. Look, guys, we all want to drink when we're on duty, but you can't. That's the way it is. Those are the rules. And they just wanted to drink all the time, even during the games. And then you wonder why that team was so bad. Bobby Valentine blew it in April when he went off against Andy, there are more cancers, no doubt about it. But Bobby Valentine blew it when he went after Youkilis. I'm still shocked that Youkilis was traded away. I mean, Youkilis, I couldn't see him as a Yankee. I couldn't see him as anything else other than a Boston Red Sox. And he was traded away. That was the shock. That's what really, that's when I knew things weren't good in Boston. They were actually staying by the manager at that point, but the real problem was Bobby Valentine. And we were talking about this, big dog. You don't call out your players like that. You know, that's the Billy Martin way of doing things. That might even be the Lou Piniella way of doing things. But if you don't do it right, you're going to get in trouble. And Bobby had just shown up, and he's already calling his players out. That's not what you do, dude. I mean, Joe Torre, as much as I dislike him, he never called out his players. No, I take it back. He did call out his players, but he didn't do it right away. He famously called out Matt Kemp. And he did all the Yankees wrong by that tell-all book after he left. And that's what I was telling everyone. Hey, Dodger fans, be careful. He'll be spilling the news over there, too. So, was that a mini rant, okay. Big Dog?
No, I wouldn't consider
that. No,
it.
I don't think so.
A lot of facts in there. But, you know, on the same token that how bad Bobby Valentine and the Boston Red Sox, which, of course, I take great satisfaction in, were bad because they're from Boston. On the flip side, of course, we had something that hasn't happened since 1967. And, of course, what was that, scorekeeper?
I'm sorry. What was that, big dog? I was reading the chat room. I'm sorry. Would you repeat that?
I said since 1967. I mean, as bad as Valentine was, we had something that hadn't happened in so many years. What, of course, happened since 1967?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that have been catching my end-of-year program, which I do on the last day of the season, I did it again. And as far as I'm concerned, this guy has been the three-time MVP winner 3 years running. And how appropriate that this man would win the Triple Crown. Wow. That is one of the most difficult things to accomplish. Case in point, last one was done in 1967 by, some guy, what's his name? Yes, Yastrzemski or something? I forget, big dog.
Yes, from Boston Red Sox, Carl Yastrzemski.
That's right, the Boston great Carl Yastrzemski, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, the last guy to hit for the Triple Crown. And now Miguel Cabrera. And ladies and gentlemen, that was not an easy thing to accomplish. But his numbers have been consistent for the last 3 years. And wow, big dog. I was shocked when he actually won the Triple Crown. I was so happy for him.
I was happy for him also. I was also shocked that he was able to do it. It was the batting average is the one I think that was the hardest to catch. As Mr. Trout from the Angels, the rookie, I had it for most of the year, and Cabrera just kept on taking away, and of course, these were his numbers. He had a .330 batting average, 44 home runs, Mr. Granderson, of course, your Yankees were right behind him, but they sat him down in the seventh, so that kind of locked it up for Cabrera with 44 home runs and a runaway with the RBIs. No one was even close. He had 139 RBIs, and I believe he stole like 4 bases. So he came right a bit, but he became, first Triple Crown winner, became the 15th player, or 16th, I can't remember, 15th or 16th player ever to do this. So this is not something that's done very often. And, of course, to me, he is going to be the hands-down MVP of the American League this year. But that being said, we thought we had a hands-down National League MVP last year, and, of course, that didn't happen. So we'll wait and see, but Cabrera should easily win the MVP this year.
Yeah, but here we go. Coffee says I'd vote for Beltre over Trout, but not a chance over Miggy. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a Triple Crown. It's a Triple Crown, man.
Yeah.
Coffee, it's a Triple Crown, dude. I mean, that's the way it is. And as you know, I clearly said his numbers were statistically better, but I will not give it to him because I just will not. He may have had a better year statistically than when he actually won the MVP, but in my mind, once a cheater, always a cheater, and it's going to take a long time for him to recover. Braun was not my choice for MVP. He was not my choice for MVP last year. It was Kemp. This year, of course, I went with Kemp. Just kidding. It was Buster Posey in the National League. Guys, it's not always who has the best year. It's the guy that shows up, does it for his team. That's why, even though a lot of people dislike it, I like that old game-winning RBI statistic. It's telling because it doesn't matter when it happens. It's the hit that puts your team ahead for good. It doesn't matter if it happened in the second inning in a 40-39 game or it happens in the eighth inning. The game-winning RBI statistic is a cool stat. They should bring it back. Another statistic is hitting with men on base. So, knowing that, Adam Dunn will never be Major League Baseball's MVP. He's an awesome fantasy player, though. No!
Dude,
what did he hit this year? He hit 40 bombs, I think. Good, fine year, but he struck out how many times? Oh, and during the Baltimore game when Mark Reynolds struck out, I was like, ha, 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 ha. I mean, this is what you get. They strike out all the time, and it's nothing for them. That's why it's pathetic. Look, this guy hit 40 bombs and hit, near 300. That would be cool, but when you hit 200, it's just worthless. So it's okay. But look, think about it. That's the only thing that I have over Andy, that Adam Dunn is a phenomenal fantasy baseball player, but in reality, he's just Steve Balboni all over again. Just hits home runs, and actually, I think Steve Balboni was a better guy. Just kidding. I think bile came up in their stomachs right now.
But hey.
Well, Tim's announced that he's got to go. He's got to make some money for Horace and Mel. So unfortunately, he has to go to his real job. He said. So thanks for joining us, Tim. We appreciate it, and hopefully, we'll see you soon. Hear from you soon. And scorekeeper, anything you want to let Tim know?
Timmy, thanks for joining, dude. Cherry Coke, Cool Ranch Doritos. Remember that. That's the best thing. Cool Ranch Joe or Cool Ranch and Doritos. See, do I have that one right here about the Doritos? Let's see if I can find it. Do I actually have it? I don't think I do. Oh, man. I was trying to find my Doritos clip. I need Saul in the chat room. Saul, get off your Oregon butt and come on over here. Okay. Now I can't find my Saul one. Tim, have a great day. And sorry. Can't play it again. Sorry you got to go to work, dude. Sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, he says he is a capitalist swine, but he has to pay for the Phoenix trip.
Oh, that's right. Who knows, Big Dog? We might be able to catch up with them this year. I don't know.
That'd be good.
Be a lot of fun.
Yeah, road trip. We can go in my car. Let's go.
That's right, but I fixed my car. I finally got my tags, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It only took it only took them what? 2 months to send me my car tags?
Yeah, but I remember you were a nervous wreck, though.
Don't know what you're talking about, Big Dog. So let's just continue, ladies and gentlemen. We are 40 minutes into the program. We're having a lot of fun. I got to tell you, Tim, have a good day, dude. I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Coffee says, it is a final. Man City 3, Sunderland 0. Manchester 1. Wow.
Yep. Oh, and also just a quick side note about Miguel Cabrera. If you do want a signed baseball, and the baseball, of course, has his signature, and underneath the signature says Triple Crown 2012, it will cost you about $400 for that baseball. They are already on sale. There is one, I guess, for Detroit City Sports. Commission Cabrera, and they have an introductory price just this weekend, folks, of $275. But they say by Monday it should be about $350 to $400. So you got about a day and a half if you're going to order this ball and save yourself about $125. They say his price should stay about $400 for a while. And he also has a 8x10 and a 16x20 of him tipping his hat to the crowd for his achievement of winning the Triple Crown. No prices on those photos, though.
Are you telling me that I can buy two of Miguel Cabrera's balls for $800?
Yeah, you can buy Miguel Cabrera's ball for $800.
Mm.
And they will be inscribed.
That would have been a high five right now, Big Dog. Oh, if they gave it to me for free, I'd take it. I'm not paying that much for a signed baseball. It is what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, we are off and running this early morning. Wow, a lot of great stuff to talk about. We're going to go over the Major League Baseball games that are going to take place today.
Yep.
Of course, because the rest of the playoffs begin today. I mean, wow. It was neat to have that extra game. I mean, this was for all the tacos for in baseball yesterday, so it's cool. So, ladies and gentlemen, beginning tonight, Oakland at Detroit at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Oh, what the hell's going on with the Major League Baseball page? It's moving. What the hell?
Yep, 6 p.m.
Sorry.
Eastern time on CBS, and then it is followed by Cincinnati at San Francisco at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time on CBS. On Sunday, it will be Oakland at Detroit at 12:07 on the Major League Baseball Network. That's very surprising. I thought they would have all the games so everyone could see it. The second game will be Washington at St. Louis at 3 o'clock on TBS. This is all Eastern time, guys. So 3 o'clock on TBS, followed by New York Yankees at Baltimore at 6 o'clock on TBS. And, of course, the night game will be Cincinnati at San Francisco at 9:30 on TBS. TBS has the run on all these divisional playoffs, and it'll be great. What are your predictions there, scorekeeper?
Oh, no, big dog. I've given up on the predictions. I may like to hear what they may have in the chat room right now. Of course, Almighty's in the chat room, Andrea's there, Coffee, Hardest Working Man, Laker fan. Guys, if you have some predictions, would love to hear them. I'm just hoping that we're going to get some good baseball, guys. Predictions are fun and everything, but I don't want to ruin my run of football playoffs. What was it, 2-3 years ago now, big dog, when I was... Wow.
Oh, you were incredible up until, like, in the Super Bowl.
Who told you, Big Dog, that I was incredible?
You missed the scorekeeper.
Fair enough. Continue.
She posted it on Facebook. She said you were just leave it.
Could you tell that I was super bored yesterday on Facebook? I was filling in all the missing pieces of my life.
No kidding. Oh, my gosh. You were down there all day long. Actually, I do want to ask you a question about the playoffs. How do you feel, in your opinion, the way they have the format set up where the first two games are at the, in essence, the team with the worst record gets the first two games at their home, followed by the last three at the better record team's home? How do you feel about that?
This is going to be the first and only time they're going to do that, and this is the way they used to do the playoffs, ladies and gentlemen, before the wild card game. If you remember, the divisional champs would, and it was all every other year. So it was just the luck of the draw. One year, it would be two games and then three, and that's just the way it was. This year is the only year they're going to do that because of the extra game, and they didn't have enough time to adjust the entire schedule. So that's why we're going to have 2-3. Otherwise, baseball is going to go 2-1 next year because we know the Houston Astros are moving over. And guys, think about it. Once the Astros come over to the American League, that means there's 15 teams in the American League and 15 teams in the National League. There is no National and American anymore, guys. It's going to be interleague play all the time. Otherwise, what are you going to do? Are you going to have a team sit down all the time? That means two teams are going to be sitting down in two leagues. No, they're not. They're going to be playing against each other. So interleague play is a thing of the past. There is no more interleague. It is all one league, ladies and gentlemen. So be prepared. Now that it is one league, within a few years, you're going to be talking realignment, and you may have teams geographically based. So you might even have two New York teams in the same division, and you may have two L.A. teams. But the point is, there are no two leagues anymore, ladies and gentlemen. It's over and done with. Interleague play is here to stay, so much so that it is all the time now, big dog.
Yep. Exactly.
Why are the Astros moving? Well, the new owner had to agree to it because they were going to be, you know, making these changes. And the new owner, whoever bought it from Drayton McLean, agreed, and that team would have been going back or would be going to the American League. In my humble opinion, they should have sent the Brewers back to the American League.
Yeah, but the Brewers weren't for sale.
I know, but the Astros have never been in the American League where the Brewers were.
Yes, I do remember that.
And the only reason why Selig made the move is because I can't compete with the Yankees, so I might as well get rid of a hitter by getting rid of the DH. That's all it was, just so he could save money, and he went to the National League. The Brewers should go back to the American League, but I don't run baseball.
Yep. You know, let's see if you can, maybe you'll find this slightly comical, but a friend of mine, a co-worker, was posting of a what could have been a talk between Bud Selig and some of his assistants. And the assistant walks in and says, "Mr. Selig, we have bad news. The Los Angeles franchises aren't going to make the playoffs." And Selig, slamming his fist on the desk, goes, "Damn it! That's why I did this expanded playoff so that I could get the L.A. market. It's the second biggest market in America. I needed them. That's why I added another playoff team on each side so they could make it in. We'll just have to add more so we can get those people in." You agree?
No. there were two teams that were playing last year, which were allegedly not big market, and I believe the numbers were really quite good.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's okay.
But this was one of the times, though. I mean,
that's a basketball conversation, big dog. Those are basketball fans trying to start up some crap over here in baseball. Those basketball fans need to go away.
Well, you know, I mean, Bunchy League would have been very, very happy had one or both of the Southern California teams made it in, as that would have opened up the market a lot more for him, which would have been more money for the league.
Okay. I believe you.
Almighty Sports Hub says they're moving the Indians to AAA, so they have a chance of finishing at 500.
Oh, that's fair. Well, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, that they should actually just switch the Royals to where they are. They're the Triple A team out there over in Mexico. Just the way it is.
And what is their name in Mexico?
Los Reales de Kansas City.
So and what was the other one? Oh, what are
Los Gemelitos de Minnesota.
That's right, the Minnesota Twins.
Look, ladies and gentlemen, all you have to do is just say, Los Reales de Cuernavaca. Or Los Gemelitos de Oaxaca. That actually sounds good.
Yeah, I like that one.
Hey, maybe Andy will call in and tell us the story of the time that she went to a Dodger game and she got lost and she ended up in South Central. It's a hell of a story, ladies and gentlemen.
Woohoo!
Yeah. She should.
And, of course, you know, she could have just pulled over, rolled the window down and asked anybody there for help. They would have been more than happy to help her.
Yeah. All you have to say, por favor, perdida, got to get home. Then they actually would have helped her. If she would have said, I'm lost. They would have said, pinche gringa.
Well, you said South Central. I don't know. She might have to. No, never mind. That would be nice.
Hey, she has a great story. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. So who knows? Maybe she'll go ahead and tell it. But anyway, a lot of good stuff. Matt Alvarez is in the chat room. What's up, Matt Alvarez? Ladies and gentlemen, I just feel privileged. It's like everyone from the NDB sports circle is here. Chicklets! Yes, Chicklets. It's okay. I understood it. And who else do we have? Someone else just came back in right now. Oh, my goodness. Cuervo has just come in. So, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to punk Couch Potato. That's the only warning I'm going to give him.
Oh, man. Good morning. I'm just hanging out. What's up? Boy, I'm glad you didn't join me about maybe 3 or 4 seconds before I think I said something that probably would have been inappropriate. Good morning, gentlemen.
Oh, was that the piñata joke?
Not necessarily that, but yeah.
Hey, guys, I can't deny
it. What is it with the chicklets? All right, I'll ask. What is it with the chicklets?
Oh, I don't know. That was Almighty Sports Fan saying the chicklets.
No, I said the chicklets. Or did he say it before I did?
Oh, yeah, he said chicklets in the chat room.
Oh, I didn't see it, but chicklets. I mean, I don't know.
Hey, Almighty Sports Show, what number of program are you on? I need to know. This is a big deal for me.
I guess I need to find out if we need to set up a show. I didn't even look, Cuervo. I'm glad that you said something. On campus with Cuervo in 7 minutes for all those college football nuts. I'm telling you right now, good show in 7 minutes. If you're getting ready and getting set for football on this wonderful cold day, at least down here in Texas, it's 54 degrees here, and it's beautiful. And it's time for football, man. I know it's football season when it starts getting cool out.
Well, I definitely like the name on campus with Cuervo. Ladies and gentlemen, it's only 63 degrees over here.
And you know why? See, what happened was is because the Texas Rangers finally lost all the hot air left Texas.
Oh. Oh, silence. It's okay. ladies and gentlemen, it's 63 degrees, but I think it's 99 degrees over in Riverside right now, huh, Big Dog?
No, actually, it's overcast, a little misty out there, so very nice out there.
Big Dog, you have four 17-year-old hotties that spent the night in your house. It was far from cold.
That's almost illegal, what you're talking there, Scorchy. You got to be careful. They're still 17, you know.
Yeah, in California, it is illegal,
though. I didn't name them.
That's it. California, it's its own country, like Texas, so.
Yeah.
It's not the South, like Tennessee and Mississippi, where you got to be like 12.
No offense to those Mississippi, Alabama listeners.
Wow.
Pretty
bad there, ladies and gentlemen. Pretty bad.
Why not? Should.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh my God, what's the name of it again? Oh, geez, now I'm messing it up. On Campus with Cuervo is going to be on in a few minutes over on the Couch Potato Sports Program. They're going to be covering all of the college games. For today, they're going to be covering it in a little bit. So I think we still have quite a bit of news, so we are going to continue, and we'll see what will happen after we're done. And, see. Did you know it's 70 degrees, 72 degrees? Oh, my God, it's 95 degrees in Abu Dhabi right now.
Okay.
I love my iPhone.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I finally got my iPhone. An iPhone 4S, though. I didn't go for the iPhone 5.
How much did that set you back?
$99.
That's not bad. But you're stuck with the 2-year contract, right?
Yeah.
Hey, man, you stick with TracFone. There's no contracts to sign.
All right.
And you can use the old flip phones, which is what I prefer anyway, because you have to be almost a college graduate to answer the damn new phones. And my daughter got one of those new Samsung Galaxies, and in order to answer it, you got to push it, slide it over, up and down in order to answer the damn phone. Whatever happened to just pushing a damn button?
Well, Couch Potato, I'm really surprised that you'd have to push it and slide it and do all. I mean, that sounds like one of your triple somersault backflip moves that you show. You should be quite skilled at operating the Galaxy S3.
I'm sticking with my old Motorola flip phone, where you push 10 numbers to make a call and push one button to answer it, or one to just disconnect, for God's sake.
Hey, Couch Potato, you know that you can pre-program numbers on there, right? You know that.
I do. I do know that.
You
but
only
it,
press
you
one
put,
button.
Sometimes you got to push five buttons to get maybe more five buttons instead of just dialing the damn number.
I mean, dude, even Solomon knows you can do that. I mean, Solomon has a smartphone, don't you, Solomon?
He isn't coming in. He is blowing you off, man.
But he's been with us all this time. Solomon, come on, dude. Love you.
Hey, scorekeeper, I wanted to get your opinion on something. I don't know if you read or heard about it, but something that you love to happen is happening once again.
No, Valentine was already fired.
the Seattle Mariners have announced that the outfield fences will be coming in for the 2013 season. It says the change will affect the left center field alley, where fences will move in as much as 17 feet. The left center power alley is currently at 390, but will be at 378 next season. It says from there, around the fence, will move straight out for a deepest point at 405, 4 feet shorter than it is currently. The straighter line fence will lead to a 17-foot change. So what do you think of that?
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, once again we hear the story of a team bringing their fences in. Why are they bringing their fences in? Let me see. To generate more offense. Well, you have to artificially alter the field by bringing the fences in. That means that your team or your athletes are really weak. They're really not as good as the players were years ago. That's an embarrassment, ladies and gentlemen. When everyone says a modern athlete is in better shape, better everything, hey, no, it's really not true. It's
yeah,
not
there's
true.
Something there's something to be said about greenies and alcohol, you know? Kind of just gives you more power.
Couch potato, there is something to be said about that. There is no doubt. But if you think about what those kids had to do in their lives compared to what kids do today, kids complain about taking the trash out.
Yes. Oh.
Okay.
If I only could get my 12-year-old to do that, that would be, it might be the first sign God's coming back.
I'd have to agree with that. Ladies and gentlemen, compare, you know, your life with the life of your kid.
Oh,
I know. Compare your life with the life of your parent. It's not even close, ladies and gentlemen. The fact of the matter is, the generations before us were physically stronger. So it just blows away the whole thing that the modern athlete is better. No, they're not better, guys.
I know why. It just came
chores.
To me. It just popped into my head, scorekeeper.
Yeah,
the reason
chores.
Why kids are not as strong today as they were in the day is when was the last time a kid of today drank water out of a hose?
That's so true.
I'm telling you, man, there's something to be said about it, man.
I know. I used to love that
the
aroma.
The coldest water in the world came out of a hose.
I'm sorry?
The coldest water in the world came out of a hose, boy. I'm telling you. Now we got water coolers.
Yeah, you're right, couch potato.
And mad because it's not cold enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we've spoiled our children. There's no doubt about it. But hey,
oh yeah, it's our generation's fault. There, scorekeeper. By the way.
Oh, I thought it was Steve Jobs.
Well, he kind of helped with that, but you get what I'm saying.
I, of course, do get what you're saying. That's why I'm going on, and that's why I'm bringing the whole theme back to the bringing of the fences in. This is a shame, ladies and gentlemen. The modern athlete, they even lift weights, and they still can't hit it out of the parks, ladies and gentlemen. That's the sad thing, because they have to keep bringing the fences in. That's sad.
And
amazing.
And another thing is, you know, they talk about, oh, the athletes are so much superior, they're stronger now, and, you know, so on and so forth, it's a BS. But yet, they swing a 28-ounce bat. Do you think they could even, that's why they talk about, Babe Ruth. What did he have, like a 48-ounce bat or 52-ounce bat, or anything?
I used a 36.
Yeah, exactly. I used to use like a 34.
Yeah, I use a 34 also.
Yeah, and score here, I mean, didn't Babe Ruth used to have like a 48-ounce bat or something like that?
It was really up there. I don't think it was a 50-ounce bat, but it was in the 40s, if I'm not mistaken. It wasn't in the 30s.
Yeah, it was in the 40s. I know that, at least. But, I mean, there'd be no way that any of these players could even, you know, put one of those back in Josh Hamilton's hands, see what happens.
Yeah, and the reason why they say is because it creates quicker bat speed, and it makes them more able to adjust to all the trick pitches. Strikeouts are up everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. I told you, I died laughing when Mark Reynolds struck out yesterday in the Baltimore game, and everyone's just like, meh, who cares? It's an out. You know, I remember when I was playing baseball, if we struck out with runners on base, we had a run. We had to run, ladies and gentlemen. So do you know what that means? You don't strike out because you don't want to run.
52-ounce bat for Babe Ruth. You were.
We were both incorrect. Big dog was
both
incorrect.
Well, I think you
right.
thought it was, but you just didn't think that made sense. I think you thought it was at least in the 50s, but you thought at the last second it didn't make sense. You were right. I think you were right on. So I'll give you credit for knowing that answer. You just backed off of trying to use common sense because, geez, a 52-ounce bat is just freaking amazing.
Ladies and gentlemen, the big dog was using scorekeeper sense, and I have to emphasize their sense. So let it go.
Yeah, I mean, that's just incredible. I mean, back in the day, those guys, and I mean, we know for a fact now, I mean, Babe Ruth partied all night long, would come to the ballpark drunk and still, you know, pound out 2-3 home runs, 4 home runs sometimes. And a career average of over 300. Wasn't his average somewhere like 328 or something or other?
It was in the 300s. Yeah, it was.
And he was a pitcher.
He was actually
a good pitcher with Boston.
Yep.
Just goes to show. The fact that pitchers can't hit still pisses me off to this day.
Yes. It's funny. Also, another change in another ballpark, but this one won't make a difference in the fences. What it is they're shortening the area in the foul area, which is in Chicago. They are going to put in 56 more seats on the sidelines, I guess, left and right field. They're going to shorten the foul area. It's not going to affect the fair fencing.
Big dog.
So, foul area
is in play. You can catch a ball
right there.
But now they're going to
do
that
too. That's Oakland. Oakland's got the biggest foul territory in the world on the sidelines.
It does.
So they're installing 56 more seats, I guess, behind home plate. It says by shrinking the foul territory by 3 feet, fans will have a better chance of catching foul balls behind the plate.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's all for the fans. Never mind the $500 a seat that they're going to charge for that seat.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. It's all for the fans, though. How about that?
It's for the fan. It's for the ultimate fan experience. You can catch a ball.
Yeah, it's definitely for the fans.
Yeah, we're that dumb.
Yeah, I think we are. So where else are we going? Oh, here we go. Oh, yeah, Miguel Cabrera led baseball with a .999 OPS. I'll grant you that one, but when Couch Potato threw that line about... I'm sorry, not Couch Potato. But when Coffee threw that line against me about... what was it? The war statistic. I'm like, oh, come on. Cut it out. Cut it out, man. I mean... Yes?
No, I was going to say Coffee's got a few other things. This Ruth, I guess, hit .342 for his career. And he said Miguel Cabrera's baseball OPS was .999, but that Ruth's career OPS was 1.1 or 1164.
Yeah, impressive.
Yeah, very much so. That's why he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And he was in the first Hall of Fame. Was it not the first induction?
Yes.
Yes, he was, right?
Yes.
Alrighty, so...
7:08 a.m. in the morning, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Couch Potato, Big Dog, and Scorekeeper, and Solomon,
yep.
Who's being a voyeur. He just doesn't want to play with us. I resent that.
Yep.
That's okay. I didn't want to talk NASCAR anyway. It's not a sport. Will that do it? That'll do it?
I just wish it would go right.
Yeah, sometimes just go right.
Hey, that's
but
why
they say,
I
they,
love.
They say drivers are in their right mind, though.
Oh, ha ha. Well, that's why I love Sonoma, guys. It's a great one. It's really cool.
Yeah. But that's the exception to the rule, though. I mean, you know, it'd be nice if they could have a round track, but they would go right. They'd go the other way. But, of course, that would throw off
they
the cars.
They could do that. All they'd have to do is turn the hell around.
Yeah, but the cars are geared that way. I saw a makeup one time of the car, and it's actually left-sided heavy, so it actually leans to the left to get more traction as they go around. They're
yeah, that makes it a sport.
Hey, it's just like bowling. Bowling is a sport, too, because, you know, the more you get drunk, the better you get.
That's right, man. Bowling's not a sport. It's a recreation, just like golf.
There you go. Well, speaking of golf, did you hear about Michael Phelps? I know that's what
I thought
said,
he was
yeah.
a swimmer. Hey, well, okay. I'll go with it.
He was in a, like a pro star type of thing that he was playing. He sank a 153-foot putt for an eagle yesterday. Okay.
I wish I could say I'm impressed, because every blind dog finds a bone every once in a while. So
that is true.
That is true.
I know I put in a 60-footer, and I have no clue how I did it. So, you know, sometimes you just hit it up there and try to get a good up, and you get lucky.
Yeah. That's pretty much what they said. It was, I guess, on a little bit of an incline, and I guess he lined it up, he hit it, and it just rolled and rolled and rolled and just rolled right into the cup. And it was 153-foot putt. Yeah, pretty unbelievable. But you're right, every dog has his day, so this would have been his, I guess.
And plus it's Michael Phelps. I'm tired of hearing about him anyway.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe it's me, but every time someone mentions water, we got to talk Michael Phelps, you know?
Yeah,
or
true.
Subway. You go to a Subway, you see his ugly mug.
I went to
Subway last week, and I saw that ugly mug. That is one ugly dude. I'm telling you right now, but he's going to score more than that. You know. Anyway, that's...
Yeah, he is ugly. I agree.
What are we talking about? Michael Phelps?
I see better heads on boils, I'm telling you.
I really don't care to comment because I don't watch. Look, Andrea is in the chat room. Hopefully she's forgiving me about my Adam Dunn tirade.
No, she brings it up every once in a while on a Monday or a Friday. By the way, we're thinking about changing the name of the show.
What are you going to change it?
Because we don't necessarily really get into a lot of fantasy talk, but we're thinking about changing the name to something like Over Coffee with Andrea and Couch.
Over Coffee?
Yeah, sports
with Andrea
over coffee.
And Couch.
Yeah, sports over coffee.
Do you know what I envision? Coffee's
what?
Body on the floor, and both of you with one leg standing on top of him.
Over coffee with
Andrea and Couch.
I was thinking one further, guys. Scorekeeper had envisioned him just on the floor. I actually envisioned him on all fours. and you guys. Like, each with your feet up on him.
With a glass top on top of him, you know, and so we can set our coffee down on it. Yeah, something like that. But I agree with coffee. I think and I know it's going to just tick off the scorekeeper. I think Valentine did get screwed. So, and I don't agree with coffee very much, and he knows that. But I think he did get screwed. So, but here's the great thing. Here's the great thing. He gets paid for 2 years on that contract. For all the BS that guy had to put up for this year, he's worth it. That's right.
All
that's right.
BS
I said
he had to
it.
Put up with?
Yeah, this guy was getting hammered before he even took one freaking step into the dugout.
Because he was mouthing off before he took one step into the dugout.
So what? That's what happens when you're the manager. If these youngins, like you said, they're a bunch of wimps anyway. You know, now, you know, hey, I'm all for bully-free stuff, but you know what? These are grown men for crying out loud. Oh, you're bullying the poor players. You know, hell with them, you know? You make a bad play out in the field, you listen to it when you get in with the manager. All these crybaby BSers out there, I'm sick of it, you know. Valentine may not be your perfect idea of a head coach or a manager for Major League Baseball, okay? But still, he had the position and he deserved the respect. It doesn't even matter. He should get 100% respect because he is the manager of that team. All they wanted to do is carry on. They get rid of Francona. But frankly, I think maybe Valentine might have been a scapegoat so they can just continue on with what they were doing anyway, and then they'll finally bring someone in there probably this year and say, you know what, they were right, all this crap is going to stop. Sooner or later, they'll get rid of the players that are causing the problems.
Well, they got rid of quite a few of them.
Some of them,
and,
yes.
Now there's talk about the second baseman being the one that second-guesses a manager and runs the team. You know, when they made him MVP, I just died in disgust. He had a fine, fine year, but he was not MVP. But anyway, oh, my God, that was so disgusting. His year wasn't that good. But it hey, you know what? It's a lot better.
It is what it is, as you always say.
Yeah, it is what it is. Look, you know what? Yeah, it is what it is. Right now, Sonny, the unwritten rules of baseball are based on the theme of you do not show me up. Don't make me look bad. And when you go with that, it's a clear unwritten rule that you don't call out players through the press. You handle it individually, like it should
be. That's worked for the last 3 or 4 years when Francona was there.
No, the reason why Francona was there is because they no longer respected him, and because there was a cabal of people that were just doing what they wanted to do, and management wasn't supporting Francona. They're so afraid of ruining these players' psyches that, look, you know what? Hey, if you don't run out of ground ball, you know what you have to do? You've got to do 10 push-ups, or you've got to run around the field. That's what you have to do. You know what? Shut these guys up, but the managers won't enforce these rules. You establish them early on and say, look, if you don't do this, if you don't do this, this is what you're going to have to do. And you know what?
Well, Lou Brown needs to be the next manager of the Red Sox.
Oh, that's right. And then I don't have to do any calisthenics, which I feel are inappropriate.
We'll piss on a contract. I don't have to do calisthenics if I don't think they're necessary, and he pees on it. You just got to love it. That's the kind of manager that needs to happen over in the Red Sox. But you know it'll never work because the thing that you say, scorekeeper, everybody's always worried about hurting these little baseball players' feelings. Hey, at worst, how much money is the worst player making on that baseball team?
Oh, well, the major league minimum, which is probably around $400,000. Coffee is saying, no, it's not. That is not an unwritten rule at all. No, it's not an unwritten rule. But I did say that unwritten rules are based on the thing of not showing me up. And I should have been a little more clear by saying, in addition to that, the managers should not show up the players. It is not an unwritten rule that the manager should not do that. No.
It's the unwritten code.
Well, I don't know if it's an unwritten code. Some managers show up their players publicly, some don't. Look, Sonny, as a manager, you handle it on a one-on-one basis. That's the way you do it. And that's why Joe Torre was well-liked by many players, because he never made it public.
Oh, you never make fun of them. Never hurt their feelings.
Well, I don't know if it's ever hurt their feelings, Sonny. He just didn't deal with it through the newspapers and through the press.
No, I'm just adding. You know, baseball players, like you said, you know, many times, they're just a bunch of wimps. Just a bunch of little wussies. And that's what it is. That's what it boils down to. And the simple fact of the matter is that the players didn't respect him anyway. So that was the problem. And that happened before he stepped into the dugout, okay? And that started as soon as – because we even questioned him. We're like, Bobby Valentine, are you freaking kidding me? Yeah, but as soon as the guy takes the step into there, it's almost like being a parent, I believe. Every parent, doesn't matter what they've done in the past to you or whatever, deserves the respect up to a certain point. I'll say that. Bobby Valentine didn't get to the point where he shouldn't have been respected. He has a history in baseball. He's got – and he has been successful, even though you don't think he has because he ended up in second. But hey, how many times he's ended up in second? How many other managers have never even made second? So, yeah, it's just kind of the way I look at it. He deserved the respect of the players before he even walked in there, and they started before he even took one step into the dugout. The guy had no chance whatsoever to win anybody over, regardless. And I think what happened is that he knew it, and he said, you know, F it. I'll just go ahead and I'll do it this way, and I'll call out all these little scumbags on what they've been doing for the last 3 years, and I'll put it out there.
Sonny, the thing with him is, if you even bothered to listen to his ESPN Sunday night games, which he tuned me out, just because you're involved in the game and you may be good at something doesn't mean you know the entire game. And
that's something
that I have fully admitted when I do the games on LetMeHearYou.com. That, hey, you know what? This is the way it is. But there are a lot of things that I didn't know, and there are a lot of things that I did know. Like when it came to rules, the only rule that I have not known in the past 20 years was the rule that Gene Mock pulled out on a manager in a game when he was an Angels manager, and it had to do with the equipment of a catcher while in play. I even forget the incident, but I was like, whoa! And everyone was like, man. And I looked up the rule, and it was appropriate, and he showed up the umps during the game. He says, you misinterpreted the play. And that was the only time which I did not understand the situation in baseball. And Gene Mock did. So I made it my role in life, my thing in life, to know those rules. And I did. I enjoyed it because I love the game so much. It's just the way it is, dude. It's fun.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, we have a few other callers coming in right now. I do apologize. While my rant was going on, we have a caller from the 612 area code. I'm sorry, don't forget, let us know who you are and where you hail from. You are live on Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Go ahead, caller.
That was a long entry. How you doing?
Doing well. What's up?
I'm in Minnesota. I tell you what, speaking of rules, I'm a USA Hockey official ref, so I understand the rules of hockey. And that's called being a student of the game. A lot of people don't realize that it's baseball, pumpkin ball, control of violence, or pain drying. And they don't, when they piss and they moan about the sport, they don't get the rules. So you got to know the rules to understand it and respect it. So that's the problem with a lot of people when they get about a sport. You know, the rule happens, they have no idea. It's just like they just knocked the ball down in the cheater in Seattle. It's like, you know, the play was upheld by a real referee upstairs. And at the end of the day, it's like, whatever, get over it. So, yeah, you got to understand the rules of any sport if you're going to follow it and love it. So, especially paint drying, there's so many different rules out there. So, real quick on the Bobby Valentine thing. Like I said, the B on the hat stood for Boston. Didn't stand for Bobby, and it was all about Bobby Valentine being the immortal he was. And I get working with guys. You work with personalities. You work with those personalities behind the scenes. You motivate them by being respectful. You don't demotivate them by being an imbecile. And that's what Bobby, I get Bobby Valentine, four-letter curse, ESPN. That's where it belongs. He's his baby out the water, Van Konen, nice man. He gave you two rings. He stumbled, all right? They should have refocused. Now he's going to go to Cleveland and probably build that franchise back up. Why? Boston sinks into mediocrity. They have no blame for themselves. They went after the big name for some reason. Go after a young, brash, young guy that's going to kick it and get it done. So, I don't know. I'm not surprised at all with the Bobby Valentine fiasco. I called for it. Said, now you got to get rid of the communist guy down there in Florida. And then you got to get rid of here in Minnesota. You got to get rid of Gardenhire, another mediocrity coach here. And Joe Mauer that loves ice cream.
Well, that's the players in Minnesota.
I agree, too. I agree. Mauer's well paid. I agree. Trust me. I understand. I get it. Okay? The players go hand in hand, my friend. But also, you work with what you have. You work with what you have, the ingredients. You want to make a sandwich, you got to get good ingredients. You don't care what. Anybody can make a cheese sandwich. Can you make it good? Yes. All right? And if you work with what you have. Look at Green Bay 2 years ago, 2010. Remember? They were done. What happened? They got together and they created a championship. Okay? You find ways to win, coach. You find ways to win pumpkin ball, baseball, football, hockey. You find what you have. You motivate those personalities to get your championship. Don't bitch about it. Bitching's last place. Winning takes care of all your problems. I don't know. I get Bobby Valentine, but I don't get that it's about him. The B stood for Boston, not Bobby Valentine. Period. Hello?
I agree to disagree because all the crap started before the guy even walked into the bullpen. I mean, or the dugout. I mean, everybody was already on Bobby Valentine before anything took over there. So, yeah, and yes, Bobby Valentine, yeah, ESPN, you know, all that, what you say, great talk, but the still you get to the fact that no one liked this guy before he even took one step into the dugout. I mean, and I get it. I understand it, okay? I was not well-liked as a boss either. People liked me in the bar, but they didn't like me as a boss, okay?
Right.
So, you know, and in Boston's case, they get both of them. They got the bar and the boss. So, you know, it's just the way I kind of look at it. You know, there was a lot of questions before anything was actually done. They announced Bobby Valentine, and everybody didn't like him. And it rubbed the players the wrong way before they got there. And if you, it is what it is. In order to get respect, you got to give it. And
right.
This guy never got it before he even walked in the door. Now, I'm not saying Bobby Valentine was the right pick. I won't do that. But at the same time, you got to respect the guy that's there.
Yeah, I know, but he's a class clown. He's chewing his gum. He's got that smirk look. He's just like Nick the Dimwit, Republican Party, that used car mentality, that Tim and Dimwit, just like Valentine, that sarcastic look on his face. You got to give it to get like a marriage. I respect my wife. She respects me. We've been married for 18 years. He had no respect. That's why they didn't like the guy. But up on the hill,
they
didn't
like him before he got there. They didn't give him the chance. That's the point.
He had his choice before. He didn't have any respect. He didn't respect it. He had his run. The game passed him by. He had no respect. That's why he didn't like the guy.
Tell that to Jim Leland.
Yeah, Jim Leland knows how to do it behind the scenes, okay?
Yeah, he knows how to kiss over all these youngins.
Maybe he does. He's still gainfully employed. Now he's at home, Bobby V, spending money. He didn't earn.
That part is true.
Right? Who's still employed? Who's off the job? Who's still employed? Tell me who's employed. Mr. Leland's employed. It's a wrong thing to tell me. I'm sorry. Give me something else besides your canned response, okay? Give me something different, okay? You're supposed to be in the business. I'm just a fan that pays the bills, all right? Give me something different than that, please. Is that all you have?
I'm the hardest working man in sports because I maintain a full-time job.
And give me something besides
and I
that. Come
gentlemen,
on. That's
gentlemen, you guys have been put on mute. Gentlemen, I'm sorry. It's my fault for letting it get to that level. I apologize. Guys, let's be genteel about this, please. All right? I'm so sorry. Sonny, why don't you come back on in? I'm so sorry, Sonny.
No, that's okay. I'll try to get the computer on. I'll listen through the computer. That's what I'll do. So I'll be in the chat room.
Sonny, I do apologize. All right, guys. Well, here we are. We're going to go ahead and continue. Yeah, guys. Look, again, I'm sorry. Got way out of hand. We're just going to go ahead and continue the program. I know the big dog's going to be coming back in a moment. We lost the echo.
I'm here if you need me. Like I said, you know, I'm just on mute. I'm in the car. I don't want the car noise to. I don't know if the car is really loud right now or not. But if it's not, you know, I can stay on this. But if you need me, I'm right here.
Well, it's good. Oh, so you're in the car right now?
Yeah, I'm already in the car.
Are they in the car too?
Just running a quick errand with Janelle really quick, and then we're going back. Now the girls, they're still asleep, so now there's a chance they may not be going. But I will still promise my cheer, though, so hopefully I'll still get my cheer.
All right, well, that's fine. Sonny, if you'd like to come back in, please. When I put both on hold, of course, Calpote bailed real quick. So, okay. I apologize, Sonny, to you. I'm so sorry. So anyway, Calpote did hang up. So, I apologize for that, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, they got kind of intense.
I actually couldn't hear a lot of it, but yeah, when you were insulting each other, that's, yeah. And I was away from the computer, so I couldn't, there was nothing I could do. I tried to talk over, it didn't work, so I just put them both on hold. And when I put them on hold, one of them hung up right away. So anyway, Calpo, dude. You got to be a lot more genteel than that, man. A lot more genteel. Look, I just get pissed off when they say the Mariano Riveras of the world. You know, that one drives me insane.
Yeah, I think Sonny just needs a little time to calm down also. I think he's just trying to cool off a bit. It's not very often that you see the hardest working man in sports agitated as such.
Yeah, but that's my fault. I let it get out of hand. So I do apologize. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to move on, big dog. So how's your daughter doing after her massive root canal?
Oh, no, she hasn't had the root canal yet. She just went to the dentist and had the other things going on. Actually, she's been very busy. We've been going on a lot of appointments. She had her eye exam yesterday, and we had ordered her new glasses, so she's very happy about that. And later on today, we'll be going to the specialist so they can start the preliminaries on her root canal. So that will be today. But her pain and infection has subsided, so the antibiotics are really working good because that's what was causing the pain in her mouth. So thank you for that.
Did she blow up like those big old, you know, how those snakes blow up when they swallow something? Was that the way it looked?
No, not quite, but she was getting a little chipmunky on one side of her face.
Well, yeah, close enough then. All right. But as long as she's feeling better, I guess that's a good thing. I'm going to go to Saul right now, whether he likes it or not. Come on, Saul. I need a genteel person right now. Come on, Saul.
And no, Saul's not coming on.
Hi, Saul.
I did want your opinion, though, on what, I don't know if you read it also, but it looks like the Dodgers owners, the Guggenheim Group, are looking into purchasing AEG. They are now one of the competition for Dr., I don't know, some young guy, whatever his name was.
Was that a stupid joke, some young guy?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Ladies,
but
don't forget, we're going to get nasty this Tuesday. It's Tuesday.
Yes, that is true. And it's, are we rated maggot?
Oh, it's rated maggot, baby.
Woohoo! Oh yeah. So that means GMO won't be in the room, huh? She won't be in the studio that day.
GMO with her iPad found all these different jokes and stuff, and she was, I'm like, save them, damn it! She's got blonde jokes. It's unbelievable, and there are some jokes I've never even heard. Like, wow.
Oh, okay, cool. So what is your feeling about the Guggenheim Group? Do you think maybe that's a possibility, or do you think it's going to be, are they trying to monopolize Southern California? I mean, should we as fans be worried that they're going to be owning everything in Southern California, or not even worry about that?
I mean, big dog, we're in that situation now where teams on their own are putting a prices in Los Angeles are becoming expensive for sporting events. It's starting to become like New York. I mean, whenever you get a new owner, ticket prices are going up. They've got to pay for it.
Yeah, well, I guess that's true.
Yeah. Look, they have a lot of money. The Kings just won. This is the best time to sell for the group AEG. I'm really surprised. It's a huge investment. They've done very well. There's very little for them to do now there, and they put everything in the, you know, for a brand new stadium. I mean, the price that they could get out of this is just unbelievable, dude. And that's just what business is all about.
Remember,
yeah,
business.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, you're absolutely right. They're talking about the price being about $6 billion.
$6 billion?
$6 billion for the AEG group in Southern California. And, of course, that would include ownership of the Staples Center, LA Live, the Los Angeles Kings, the LA Galaxy, Chivas USA. I'm not sure how much of the Home Depot Center they own, but it would be part of that. And also, the I believe 5 or 10% of the Lakers that are owned by AEG.
Wow. But But the Guggenheim Group does actually have that money. I mean, that is truly the drop in the bucket for the that investment group.
Oh, yeah, for them, yeah. That's a drop in the bucket for them. They got so much money, it's not even funny.
Wow. Yeah, I see it happening. But who's the one that gets screwed? You know, shouldn't us, the ones that invested in the Staples Center and did all that stuff, shouldn't we actually get a profit out of that, the fans and the city, people who put up all that money to risk?
You would think so, but of course, you know, you and I know that that's not how it works. The private sector that owns this, you know, even though the public paid a portion of it, that always goes by the wayside. Their answer would be, well, yeah, those are the little bricks that you were able to buy to put your name on it, you know, in the Staples Center and in the ground. That's your ownership.
Yeah, exactly. So look, Big Dog, anyone who thinks that this is a shocking turn of events and the fans, you know, oh, the poor fans, you know what? There's only one way to change that, guys. If you don't like the product, don't go. I guarantee you the prices will not go up if you don't go. But if you continue to go, the prices will go up. It's just the way it is. So stop your belly aching.
Yeah, you know, you're true. It's so very true on that statement. The thing, though, of course, is you know as well as I that if you don't go, then, you know, your neighbor's going to go in your place. I mean, someone will always go to these games. That's what I'm saying. Hockey doesn't have that luxury as baseball, football, and even basketball for the most part in a big market for basketball. But baseball and especially football, those guys are always packed. There's always a waiting list. Like Green Bay, look at Green Bay. Green Bay's got a 20-year waiting list for tickets, for season, especially season tickets. There's people that have been waiting all their lives and never had a chance at it. And when they have kids, they put their kids on the waiting list, hoping that by the time they turn 18, they can get a ticket. I mean, that's ridiculous. So for that fan to say, oh, I'm not going to go, there's another guy waiting in line, chomping at the bit to take his ticket.
For certain things, yes, Big Dog, because if you're talking about the Green Bay Packers and you're talking about the Los Angeles Lakers, sure. But you certainly aren't talking about the San Antonio Spurs. You're not talking about the Phoenix Coyotes, and you're definitely not talking about the Los Angeles Clippers. All right, it's just the way certain things are. When the Lakers were doing badly, there were empty seats, if I remember correctly.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
the Lakers have never done that.
Yeah, they've had some empty seats. But let me see.
The Lakers have never done bad. The Yankees have never done bad.
Yeah, Coffee says, I don't get why Angeles is even selling. I don't know. Maybe it's just the free scene that it's at a high, the economy's rebounding, and the Kings won. I guess he can get a premium, and maybe he wants to do something else. This is what Anschutz does.
He's
investment.
Anschutz, the actual owner, who is 77 years old, says that he pretty much, he didn't come out and say it this way, but he inferred that, you know, guys, I'm tired. I live in Denver. You know, I have all these other things that I own. I mean, they own something like 15 sports arenas. And I guess the LA part that they own, I guess, takes up so much time. He just doesn't have time and doesn't have the energy anymore.
Wow.
So he said, you know, while the going's good, you know, might as well sell.
Yeah, and again, maybe they have plans to divvy up the money to the heirs and continue the empire. I mean, that's why you're in business, is you want to build something and you build it and you want it for it to continue. You don't want the hard work to just die and, you want this family to have some money and go on. So, hey. Let's see. Matt Elver says, for a brief moment, it was like you guys were there. I thought you guys were going to start cussing next. That wasn't me. That was someone else. Yeah,
and
Tim
of course,
Lewicki does it all. That's what Coffey says. Tim Lewicki does it all, and it's true.
Yes, he does. And of course, they're still trying to push that. And of course, the new owner is going to hinge on whoever the owner will be, as long as they push forward on the football scheme of the EEG. So that plays a big part of it also.
Well, the city council approved it, big dog, and have we started that 30-day window for the appeals?
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Yes.
So it just means that the appeals are being filed within these 30 days, and then they have a 90-day period to settle those appeals, right?
Yes. And I guess there was a special motion that was passed that this will be expedited if there was any opposition to this, and it will be done in, I think, 140 days or something, 120 days or something like that.
Okay, yeah, I said 90, so I'm going to...
I'm sorry, it might be 90.
No. Oh, I mean, 90 days is still pretty quick. It might be the 180 that you're talking about, but still, relatively speaking, knowing the way the court system works, yeah.
Yeah, that would be super fast.
Yeah, you know what? Hardest working man made a statement yesterday. He says... he actually was pushing me yesterday. I kept my mouth shut, and Andrea handled him yesterday so I can do it once, not 2 days in a row. Oh. So it was a continuation from another event.
Poppy wants to know what our EEG bid is up to now.
Oh, I've got to you know what? You're right, Coffee. It was 10,000. 500. I don't know what it is now. I'm going to have to take a look at my finances. It may have dropped a little bit, but it's still an all-cash offer. Yeah, everyone misses the fact that I've been talking about the brand-new refrigerator, the brand-new iPad, the brand-new iPhones, all this stuff. Everyone misses the fact that we went on a massive job employment spree. Hey, I was doing my part to stimulate the economy, ladies and gentlemen. No doubt about it.
But I will say your
you were too.
A little bit. The purchasing that you've done, though, is very well-deserved and very hard-earned on your part.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
if we decide not to go, we as in... NDB Media decide not to go after AEG, then we could possibly go after a sock.
The who?
A sock. Because Kurt Schilling is selling his sock. It will be up for auction. He needs money to pay for his his bankruptcy. And the famed sock from the World Series is possibly going to be going up for auction. As he says, he has made a promise to pay his monetary part as much as he can, and that sock will help alleviate some of that debt that he owes. It says the Boston Globe reported of his bankruptcy filing this past Thursday, and that he said that where's the number at? He has the firm owes $150.7 million, and he has assets of $21.7 million. And then 38 Studios that's based in Baltimore, in Maryland, is a separate bankruptcy, and he owes more than $121 million with assets of only $335,000. It says that Schilling personally guaranteed as much as $9.6 million in loans personally. So, and another $2.4 million loans from Citizens Bank. So he owes a lot of money, so he needs to sell that sock and a few other things that he says that he has accumulated over the years. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, who were the idiots that lent him this money? And who were the
exactly.
idiots that just gave him the money? Because I believe when he went to Connecticut or Rhode Island, they gave him all this money so he could take the business there. And that's just,
yeah.
You know, I prefer what Villaraigosa does over here, is he attracts businesses by saying, you will not pay taxes for 3 years. That's kind of cool. That's good.
Yeah.
Especially in the startup
yeah,
phase of a business.
Yep. Yeah, it was rolled out in the game, all that money. The Fox supposedly is going to sell between $50,000 and $100,000. He said that he has Lou Gehrig's cap, and that should sell for about $150,000. And there's a few, World War, I guess he has a collection of World War II memorabilia. So evidently this is all going to be going up for auction very, very soon. So if we fall out of AEG, maybe we can buy the stock.
No.
Especially a Boston Red Sox. I agree.
Yeah, a Boston Red Sox sock? No. I have no desire for such things. No. No, none whatsoever. Uh-uh. No, not going to happen. I would rather invest in the A&G and that's it. Our bid is still about $10,000. I don't know if I wrote that one down, but I'm going to have to go back and listen. Oh, how disgusting. Oh, man. But it was pretty, I think it was about $10,500, Big
Tom. I believe that's what it was, yes.
And it was all cash offer, but my credit card now back in the green, so I think it's $10,550. I used to kid about that when our bid would fluctuate a little bit, depends on what was available on my credit card. So, yeah, that's where we are, Big Dog, unbelievably. Elvis's soiled underpants only brought in $7,500. What makes him think he'll get $15,000 for a sock?
Yep.
Well, that's just it, though. Saul has it wrong. It's not $15,000. It's $50,000 that he thinks he's going to get for it.
Because there are a lot of stupid Boston fans out there, and besides, it happened in 2004 when Boston put it to the Yankees and the rest of baseball. Yes, Couch, that is Saul. He is listening to us, and he is in the chat room. Unbelievable. He is commenting. what does Coffee say? Sports stuff goes for more than crappy musician stuff. Yeah. Oh, the taxpayers of Rhode Island will buy it.
Yeah,
they did. They bought that other stuff.
I've never agreed.
That's why I'm against this Farmers Field deal. I've always been. We've been doing so well, even though we did pay some money for the staples, and I think we are being paid back. But again, there's no guarantee. That's why when we're selling staples, don't we get money in this deal? I think we do.
Yeah, they'll give you the standard government answer. The check's in the mail.
Oh, that's so funny. It is true for me as well. But that's neither here nor there. Wow. It's been a good morning so far, Big Dog. We're under 13 minutes left. Had a wonderful audience. I also want to thank everyone that's been listening over the last few months. We are just tickled pink. Sports Talk with the Guys, our numbers. I'm very happy. I don't think we're going to approach the couch potato with 10,000 downloads per episode, but I know that I am very happy with Sports Talk with the Guys. Our numbers have been going up regularly over the last few months, and it's real good. I mean, I was pissed off there for the longest time. Remember, Big Dog, there was that three-month stretch that Matt Alvarez was always out drawing us?
Yes, I remember that.
I'm like, damn it, Matt's beating us. What the hell? And we just, he has a solid audience. His numbers are always good, but thank God we've been able to hold our own and do much better. Yeah. Sorry, I was reading this stuff in the chat room.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah,
so am I.
Yeah, sorry. I guess. Now, guys, don't forget, Almighty Sports Show is on blogtalkradio.com/Almighty Sports Show. Of course, Matt Alvarez is on this channel on Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Of course, Andre and Couch Potato are on every Monday and Friday at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Time, 9:30 a.m. Eastern. And, of course, there is a Couch Potato Sports program at blogtalkradio.com/couch-potato. So it's there. And, of course, Way in Sports. It's way-in-sports. All right, on blogtalkradio.com. Don't forget, ndbmedia.net, twitter.com/ndbmedia. I don't know if you guys have been following my Twitters as of late. I was ripping into Jack Welch yesterday. I was having a lot of fun when Jack Welch went off and saying, oh, yeah, the unemployment dropped down to 7.8, what the guys from Chicago will do. He was interviewed on CNN, and he says, well, you know, I should have added a question mark. So if you follow my Twitter feed, which I directed directly at Jack Welch, I tell him, dude, your Twitter is incoherent. Adding a question mark changes nothing. You know, I said, dude, your day is past. Go play with your hired hands. That was funny. Yeah, and then I told him something else. I said, well, you're the one that started it. You're the one that started with these high, unemployment reports. You're the one that sent the jobs overseas. There was no comment from Jack Welch. But Jack Welch, whatever. His day is done. He's going to die soon. He's an old guy. So, goodbye, Jack.
Well, we have a few minutes left, and hopefully Cal State will grace us with his phone call presence one last time, as I would love to get his opinion on, I would love to get his opinion on this as well as yours right now, scorekeeper.
Hold on, big guy. Couch Potato, call in. Please call in. Come back in, dude. Come on back. We love you. I love you. Come on, Couch Potato. Come on.
Okay, big dog, go ahead.
The NBA announced earlier this week that they are trying to institute a new rule, and that is the anti-floppy rule. This is the scorekeeper's wish, and it has come to fruition. The NBA now has set up a fine system to fine the players. It'll be after the fact, kind of like the way they do in football when they review the hits. And what it'll be for the first infraction, if you are deemed to have flopped, it is a $5,000. The first one is a warning. Second time, you are fined $5,000. And the fines increase to $10,000 for a third offense, $15,000 for a fourth, $30,000 for a fifth. And if you get six or more, it could lead to a suspension. Now, of course, much as I hate to say it, the union stuck their nose in again, and they say this is unfair, an unfair labor practice, and they are filing a lawsuit against the NBA saying that they have no right to just go ahead and fine players for no reason. It says, the quote is, we will bring appropriate legal action to challenge what is clearly a vague and arbitrary overreaction and overreach by the commissioner's office. Now, first of all, this is not an overreaction. We have been complaining as fans and owners and other players have been complaining about the flop for years. And I do applaud the commissioner's office for actually trying to do something about it. To me, this is the best thing that you can do. Now, how they're going to rule or how many people are going to be looking at this, hopefully it's not just one person. It should be a group of at least four or five viewing this to see if they all agree that it is a flop or not a flop. So it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. But I do want to institute that this season. So this is going to be going on very quickly. And I just wanted to get your opinion and Sonny's opinion if Sonny is back on or not. Scorekeeper, what's your opinion on this?
Hey, Sonny, this is going to be very difficult. I don't recall me saying it was a wish. I really did say I wanted to stop because it's stupid and getting out of hand. And now that they're going to be doing this, Sonny, I don't know if this is actually going to work out. I actually have reservations against it. The Player Association does have some validity to sue, but then again, if it's involved with the play, you can still be fined. I mean, that's real easy to do it. Sonny, do you think this is going to be a good thing, this new flop rule?
No, I think they should just ignore it. If they think it's a flop, don't call the foul. I'm missing it. I mean, I'm missing it, but then you get the belly aching afterward. But, you know, I'm not even seeing what the... Hey, back in the day, flopping was an art. And now it's getting out of hand, I guess some people say. But I still think it's part of a game. I mean, you say what you want. You try to fool the referees into getting what you want on any given play. It includes a flop. I mean, if you flop because you fall down, if you're not good at it, so be it. The refs don't call it. I think calling a foul for flopping, I think it's kind of, you know, nonsensical. It's very easy to ignore a bad call, and needless to say, because they do it all the time in the NBA, so they can ignore that one too. I think it's overkill, and I think it's just silly.
You know, Sonny and Big Dog, I think I've been one to complain about the belly aching. You've heard
That's
me,
the one
dog.
I...
Yeah, Sonny, you've heard me too. Every
yep.
foul, these guys are complaining about every call. That's one where I said, foul them, or fine them, right there. Shut up. Just tell them to shut up and say one word, $10,000, dude. One word.
Yeah, you know, scorekeeper, but that could be done. That could be stopped by giving them a technical every time, you know, when they do it. You know, they don't need to fine there. You call the foul, and that stuff will stop. See, the refs, I think the refs want to get into it with them sometime, just so they can prove their ego with them, so they push them down. Call the foul, say, hey, mouthing off to us is not going to get you anywhere. It's going to have a guy on the line. And it would stop, I think.
I agree. That's where it should really be stopped. I mean, Big Dog, do you really believe that this flopping is really a big deal of the game? Because, look, the flopping is, in my humble opinion, no different from when a batter bails out of the batter's box or feigns getting hit. I mean, that's part of the game. When you're a defender... And you try to draw the foul in basketball and even in football. You do. You try to draw the foul.
Yeah, you do try and draw the foul. I do agree. And it is part of the game. I agree in that. You know, what Sonny said was true. You know, in the 80s and 90s, it was an art to do it because, I mean, you had to be really good at it. And now I believe it is getting just a bit out of hand. There's a lot of players out there that just – over-exaggerate so much just to get the ref's attention. I think maybe to try and do this to curtail that. You know, much as I love Derek Fisher, I mean, he was one of the best floppers in the business. You know, he knows how to draw it. But some of the times you could tell that he would, I mean, the guy barely, you know, brushed his jersey and, you know, Fish is going flying back 8 feet, you know, 8 feet sliding on the floor. You know, there was just an over-exaggeration. There's a lot of guys that do that. I think this will help. I think it's going to be very hard for them to decide what's a flop and what isn't a flop. Ignoring the call is possibly an answer, but the only problem with that is some of the aggressive offensive players are going to use that to their advantage and just lower the shoulder, which, of course, is also a foul. But I'm just glad something is trying to be done. Now, whether this is the right answer or not may not work out, but at least something is trying to be done rather than just either ignoring it or, and it's true, listening to these guys complain. Kobe is one of the worst complainers in all of basketball. And I like the fact that this season a lot of the players were being teed up. They were given tees if they complained too much. Kobe got about 5 or 6 tees during the regular season for complaining too much. And the refs are pretty much saying, shut your mouth, run down the opposite way, and keep playing the game. Quit complaining. I love the fact that they are starting to call tees on complaining too much. So that part I do like about that.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are under a minute and a half, so we're going to finish this one up right now. We're going to go on over to the Cash Potato Sports program, and we're now down to a minute. I want to thank everyone that joined us this morning. It's incredibly exciting. It's been a lot of fun, and I got to tell you, it was great. I'm looking forward to even next week. Don't forget to catch everyone who's on this channel, guys. There's a lot of stuff. And if you want a good funny time, Joke Night is next Tuesday on NDB Media. And we're looking forward to it. Sonny, I owe you a professional apology and a personal one. I'm sorry.
No, you don't.
and we're going to move on, ladies and gentlemen. Big Dog, it's always a pleasure. I'm sad we didn't get the cheer, but hey, it is what it is. And it's all good. Saul, thanks for calling in and listening and being in the chat room. Coffee, Almighty Sports Show, Artist Working Man, Laker Fan, Matt Alvarez, Saul Walters, Andreas Sports Fan, Tim, McLeod, everyone who was in. It was great, guys. We're going over to the other program, so we'll see you on the other side. Peace! See ya!